I never seek, if the scripture gives a justification, then I will give the justification. The only justification I've ever seen for turning the other cheek that is written is that by, you know, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Not that you should always do it with a vindictive heart, because you never know when your enemy might turn and become your friend. And I think that is the most important aspect of this, is that God sees all and knows all. His judgment is perfect. We start judging the wicked, and as the parable of the tares demonstrates, you know, even the angels, because Jesus, you remember the parable of the tares, there was this field, and the field was planted with good seed, and then the enemy came and planted wicked seed. And then the reapers said to the master of the house, well, should we go out and pull out all the tares, which was the bad, you know, the weeds? And the master said, no, lest while you plucking the tares, you accidentally pluck up some wheat. Let them grow together to the harvest. And then he says, Jesus said, the reapers are the angels. Even angels do not necessarily know who is who and what is what in the kingdom of God. So, much less humanity, who does not have, any kind of divine. I mean, our sight is, we're angels are with God, and they aren't necessarily able to judge, or at least that's the implication of the parable of the tares. At least one of the implications. There's quite a few implications of that parable. And when we study the book of Matthew, we will go into all the implications. So, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Remember, we talked about Christ's coming. He's not going to have a secret coming and then another coming. When Christ comes, there will be one coming of Christ that is yet future. And when he comes, it's going to be a revelation. He is going to be revealed. He is going to be exposed. You know, it is often called the appearance of Christ, which I believe epiphanes. It means, you know, shining forth, I believe, or something of that nature. Like epiphany. You know, it is a very public and visible event when Jesus returns. When he comes, when he is going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, not in a secret coming, but in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming for vengeance. He who is meek as a lamb is going to come on a war horse and mete out vengeance. On those who disobey. And it's worth saying in passing that as it is written, they are appointed to disobey, and they are vessels of wrath. And of course, when I say that, thou wilt then say to me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? God created the world for his purposes. Man, my existence is somewhat incidental. I mean, God intended that I should exist, no doubt. But my twin brother, I don't have a twin brother, right? But I could have had a twin brother, and I could have been dead. I mean, never born. And that person could have enjoyed life and then gone to hell or become a son of God, depending on the foreknowledge of God. But the point is, God doesn't owe anything to any man. God doesn't owe anything to anyone. He does everything for his own purposes and for what he's trying to do. It is not to please man, to impress man, or to be justified in the sight of man. who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's an important verse in understanding the final judgment of the wicked. Notice it says they will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Away from his presence. Well, the scriptures say that, you know, and most people understand that God is everywhere. The Psalms say, you know, though I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Maybe I should turn to that passage in the Psalms. We should go there. I think we will. Psalm 139, verse 8. Psalm 139, verse 8. Let's start in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is everywhere. Now the hell spoken of here means the grave. The grave is where we will all make our beds when we die. But of course, there's also this teaching that when that's been around for a long time. It is in ancient times, there were more than one school of thought on the final disposition of the wicked. And among the several schools, there was one school in Rome which believed in eternal torment, kind of along the lines of Tantalus in the Greek legends. And there are some scriptures which will lead one to that conclusion if taken entirely by themselves. Of course, there are many other scriptures which make that proposition a very difficult one to support, and for me, impossible. It is not an emotional decision. It is, for me, a cold and calculated point of doctrine, when you have to put everything in the balance. You know, we have so many scriptures that direct us this way, and we have a few over here which are somewhat difficult at worst. Then I have to go with the ones that are the many. Now, some people would say, well, there are, you know, there's tradition in that. I don't follow tradition, except for the traditions which are written in this word.